John Rappaport. I'm an investigative reporter. I've been working for 38 years as a freelance journalist, writing for publications in the U.S. and Europe. And since 2001, my website has been nomorefakenews.com. And I'm here to talk about the creation of a false pandemic. I've been researching epidemics really now for 30 odd years, a number of them. This is a kind of primer. It's going to be impossible for me to cover in detail the 30 or 35 or so articles I've written on the COVID-19 on my website. So I'm going to try to deliver to you the basics, what will cut through the lies. And this first episode is called How It Started, and we go to Wuhan, China. Wuhan is a gigantic city of 11 million people. It's an economic powerhouse in China. It was there that researchers claimed to have discovered a new virus, a new coronavirus, which eventually became known as COVID-19. I've described in articles the dubious process by which this discovery was done, relying, as I do, on a much older traditional method of purification and discovery called electron microscope photographs, which would be done with hundreds and hundreds of so-called patients side by side to see if the photographs are comparable, identical, if really there are many, many particles of virus in each photograph, if they are identical from or close to identical from photograph to photograph, and if they've never been seen before. This has never been done. Instead, some very fancy laboratory work was done very quickly. It's always amazingly quick in all of these so-called epidemics how researchers suddenly say, oh yeah, we've got it. Out of the trillions and trillions of potential viruses, we immediately narrowed it down and we found this new coronavirus, which we've never seen before, and we assume or think it may have crossed over from animals into humans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then you have the discovery, so to speak. But what else is happening in Wuhan? Because you have to understand that the Chinese also immediately said that the number one symptom of this new disease is pneumonia. Okay, keep that in mind. Pneumonia. Now, the city of Wuhan and other Chinese cities have incredibly foul air pollution. This is not just irritable, bothersome. This is serious stuff we're talking about. In fact, one review that I've cited indicates that the air above Wuhan contains an unprecedented mix of toxic elements never seen before in human history, from both the early industrial age and the modern industrial age. You don't need a germ of any kind in order to come down with what's called pneumonia. In Wuhan, all you have to do is breathe. But the researchers overlooked this. Ah, well, it must be a new virus that's causing pneumonia in Wuhan. In addition to that, studies indicate that roughly 300,000 people in China die every year from pneumonia. This is long before the emergence of the so-called coronavirus. So 300,000 deaths from pneumonia per year in China would mean millions of cases of pneumonia in China. Nothing new, nothing new whatsoever. And yet still, everyone is quite sure that this must be caused by a new virus. In any science class in high school with reasonably intelligent students and an intelligent teacher, they would see through this in about 12 seconds. But somehow the press doesn't see through it, governments don't see through it, nobody asks any questions. No mainstream reporters say, well, wait a minute, hold on. You guys in your virology lab, have you looked out the window? Have you seen the building across the street? You can't see the building across the street. I say, well, what do you think is in the haze between? No, no questions asked. Just absolute loyalty and obedience. How is that possible? I will describe what's called the Epidemic Intelligence Service of the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, as the medical CIA. They are the virus hunters. They are several thousand trained medical professionals. This branch of the CDC, very little known, has been in existence since the Korean War back in the 1950s. They do several hundred missions a year to areas of, quote, outbreak. They are trained, you could say, entrained, brainwashed by their medical training to always look for the virus. Let's find the virus. Where is the virus? If they went to a city with massive industrial pollution pouring out of a plant into the river and turning it 16 colors, and people were dying on the riverbank, they would say, I wonder what the virus is. They, in collusion with other such people in the World Health Organization, also virus hunters, and Chinese virus hunters, collaborate to decide this has got to be a virus that's causing pneumonia in the city of Wuhan. If you were to call this whole episode dubious, you would be underestimating it by a trillion. Okay. Now, on top of this, an amazing thing happens as the press and governments around the world are beginning to catch wind of this dubious outbreak in China. And that is that the Chinese government decides, for one reason or another, that they're not going to even try to do a diagnostic test directly for the virus. That's kind of like saying to a patient, you know, I think you've got the virus. And the patient says, well, is there a test? Yes, but we're not going to do that test. Why not? Well, because we have a different test. And what is that? Does it test for the virus? No, it doesn't test for the virus. So in China, they decided that they would do CT scans on patients as they were coming into hospitals. CT scans of the lungs. What did these scans show? Lung infections of various kinds, mild, severe, pneumonia-like, whatever. And on the basis of these scans alone, people would be diagnosed as positive for coronavirus and would be counted as cases. So to begin, understand that the largest percentage of so-called coronavirus cases in the world, which would be in China, were all cooked up on the basis of no tests at all, just simply, oh, you must be, we presume you're coronavirus case, or CT scans. That is the overwhelmingly what has been done in China. And from that, very large case numbers have resulted, which of course paints the false picture of, ooh, whoa, epidemic spreading, blah, 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 blah. Okay? All right. Now, the Chinese did something else. Something else unprecedented. quite early in the episode. And this is the key event in the entire false pandemic. They locked down 50 million people in three cities overnight. Bang. Never been done before. Seemed to be a tremendous shock felt around the world. Look what the Chinese did. Unbelievable. The Director General of the UN rushed in to say, this is wonderful. We have to praise the Chinese. They have shown the world the model of what to do in a situation like this to contain the spread of the virus. And it's marvelous, marvelous, marvelous. Really, the brutal dictatorship of China locks down 50 million people overnight and people are popping champagne corks. Well, they are at the CDC and the World Health Organization, who have been trying to plant the idea of a false pandemic and failing one after another with West Nile, SARS, swine flu, Zika, et cetera, et cetera. And now they've got the key in their hands. Now, whether this was all pre-planned or whether it was happening in the moment is another question. But the effect is obvious. The CDC and the World Health Organization virus hunters are saying, this is exactly what we've needed all along. The Chinese have locked down 50 million people. It's never been done before. They say the virus must be contained. Therefore, everybody's going to believe this is very, very, very dangerous virus, and we have to contain it. The Chinese just broke the ice for the rest of the world, and we can now do lockdowns. Get that through your head. This was the moment. And so it came to pass. So it came to pass. This is how it started. This is where it came from. This is what was done. This was the monumentally fake science behind it. This is what happened. And now I have to add another factor, because this is the biggest con job and stage magic trick of all in all of these so-called epidemics or pandemics. And I want you to really try to get this, because it's very, very important. They create the illusion of one disease with one cause. It must be one thing. That's the biggest stage magic trick in the world, and almost everybody falls for it right away. So, for example, after what I've just said about China and Wuhan and the pollution cause of pneumonia, somebody is going to pipe up immediately and say, yes, but you see, look at where all the other cases of coronavirus have been diagnosed around the world, and you will see many places where the air pollution is quite ordinary, or there isn't any air pollution to speak of at all. And therefore, air pollution could not be the cause of the epidemic. To which I would reply, you're falling for the oldest con in the book, because you are wedded to the idea that this must be one disease with one cause. All the people who are afflicted must be afflicted by the same cause, the virus, or whatever it is. But that is fake. That is false. That is not true. That is the picture they are painting. That is what people always fall for. Even the people who would deny that the coronavirus is the cause, some of them will come rolling in with their own answer to what is really causing the one pandemic, and they will have their one cause. They'll say, well, it's the rollout of 5G technology, or it's this, or it's that, or whatever. They're falling for the same trick. They're assuming right from the get-go because it's a kind of human addiction to fall for it, that it must be one disease with one cause. And that is how they get you. That is how they absolutely get you. Once you bought that one, bang, you're in. You're part of the club. And I want to read you a brief paragraph from one of my articles here as I refute the one disease, one cause. I won't even call it a model. It's a fake forgery. It's a picture that is put there to hypnotize populations. Quote, there are people in Wuhan who have pneumonia because of the horrendous air quality. There are people in New York who have ordinary severe flu-like illness. There are people in Italy who have histories of multiple long-term serious health conditions, pneumonia, flu, cardiac problems, kidney problems, made far worse through treatment with toxic drugs. There are people in hospitals around the world who, after being diagnosed with COVID, are dosed with powerful toxic antiviral drugs. There are people on breathing ventilators who are being given too much oxygen and too much pressure, and their lungs collapse. There are perfectly healthy people who are testing positive for the virus because the test is irreparably flawed, etc., etc., etc. There are people all over the world who have various conditions that fit the generalized flu-like, pneumonia-like list of symptoms for COVID-19. And they are being all corralled, like horses in the field, so to speak, into the same corral with the same label burned into the plate above the corral that says COVID-19. These people are actually suffering from a diverse number of different conditions caused by many different factors in different cases. But they are all being corralled under the umbrella term COVID-19. This has happened before many times in other epidemics. It's the same strategy, and you have to understand it. If you don't, you're always going to be trapped inside the picture of the one disease, one cause. You're going to say it's this or it's that, but you're going to assume that all the cases all over the world have the same cause. The diagnostic test for the coronavirus has a tendency to spit out false positives, which will assist in creating the illusion of many, many cases around the world. And I will go into that diagnostic test in more detail in the second part of this series. But suffice it to say, if you make the assumption, unwarranted, that it's the COVID-19 virus, you see, that connects all of these people with diverse conditions together, that is a false assumption. It's not borne out. It's not true. Instead, what you really have is all these people floating about with different diverse conditions caused by many different factors. And the virus hunters and the public health agencies, primarily the CDC and the World Health Organization, by their very definitions and lists of symptoms and so forth, and promotion of the diagnostic test and case number estimates and all manner of reinforcing literature and pronouncements, wave a wand over you and everybody else and say, it's all one disease with one cause, COVID-19 virus. And that's why we have a pandemic. And that is the illusion. The cardinal, central, basic illusion. Now, somebody else and I'll quote again from one of my articles, just to give you the objections, because there are always going to be many, many, many objections. And I can hear them, and I get them, and I see them, and I respond to them in articles, because people are not cured of this addiction, which is what it is. Do you see? They're not cured of this addiction to say it must be one disease with one cause, just by 2 minutes of conversation. This is a real addiction, a real addiction. Okay, so people will show up and say, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's very interesting, not one disease, not one cause. But what about the people who died over here in this city? And what about, how do you explain these people dying over there? And then there's this group of people that suddenly died. They show up in the hospital, they died. So it must be all one thing. What is it? And the truth of the matter is there is no it. And that is the kernel of the problem. And that is the core of the addiction, that people must have an it. They want one. They need one. They must have one overall explanation. So somebody would show up and say, well, what about all these people, who knows how many, that suddenly died in City X, wherever that might be. So I write, but think it through. If people are actually dying in City X suddenly, and weren't in the process of dying for a long time, since they're elderly and they have a history, long history of serious illness, if they were really dying suddenly, then you need to see what's going on in City X specifically. And not assume it's the same thing that's going on in Wuhan or Seattle or New York or Berlin or Milan. Don't make that assumption based on nothing. Is something strange happening in a City X hospital? Is that possible? Are doctors dosing people with highly toxic antiviral drugs, for example? Are they misusing breathing ventilators and collapsing patients' lungs? Did some dangerous chemical recently show up in the environment in City X? Did someone put it there? Who knows? But assuming it must be the virus is unwarranted. That assumption is based on nothing. And then in this article, I happen to say, let's look at a real City X. It's called Wuhan. And then that's how I led with this. I described what's happening in a real City X in Wuhan. And it turns out that overwhelmingly we're talking about horrendous air pollution and possibly the rollout of 5G technology, because Wuhan is a center for that development. I would still like to see more confirmation on that, particularly at what band the 5G technology is being deployed in Wuhan, whether, for example, it's at 60 gigahertz, which could signal some serious, serious harm. But anyway, these so-called unexplained cases and clusters of cases that people always cite, they don't cite them by saying, somebody needs to go to that city and take a look and see what is actually happening on the ground and why people are falling ill and dying. No, they speak from their addiction. They say it must be the virus. They don't go there and look. They just say, well, I mean, it's obvious, therefore it's the virus, because it must be the virus there, must be here, must be there, must be everywhere. And again, and I'm going to keep pounding on this, because unless people get out of this trap, nothing else matters. It doesn't work. You can't really assess what is happening here with this so-called pandemic or other earlier ones, because you're always going to come back to the sensation and the feeling and the portrait of one disease with one cause. That, in fact, of course, is the long-standing medical model that has been promoted, well, certainly more than 100 years. I don't have the time or space to go into the discussion of the whole germ theory of disease, but suffice to say that the immune system certainly plays a role in all of this, and there are many other factors. And the reductionist strategy, wherever it is deployed, of reducing human suffering to one disease caused by one germ is completely fallacious. To do that in a reductionist manner across the board is a fantastic fallacy. It's very profitable. It makes a great deal of money. It sells. Pharmaceutical combines and companies can come in behind that and do and develop all manner of drugs and urge and even pay researchers to find new models of one disease, one germ, so the companies can produce more drugs and more vaccines and make more money. Absolutely, no question about it. So we certainly have precedent for this model, but in the epidemic arena, the pandemic arena, it's magnified and intensified to a great degree. And people actually become hysterical about the whole thing, as you can see, with the lockdowns. They want people to keep their distance of 6 feet. They want to wear masks. They are quite sure, based upon whatever they see on television, that it all must be the virus. That addiction to that idea is at least as solid, if not more solid, than the most solid heroin addiction that I can tell you. So I want to leave you with that for the moment to think about. Think it through. Think it through. And I will have more evidence to support what I'm saying here in the next episode of The Creation of a False Pandemic. This is John Rappaport. I want to thank Catherine Austin Fitz and the Solari Report for giving me the space and time and technology to do this series, and to say my articles are at nomorefakenews.com. See you next time.